at justice from, I really think, how we should, because we constantly think that justice is how we see it or how we feel about a situation. And we think it's unjust or unfair and all these things that happen. But justice is not ours to serve. That is God's job. And then so when we have certain situations, how we live and how we set an example during that time is kind of what makes those situations fair or unfair. Our job is to shine God's light through those times. And I brought Manny and his family. I met through George, my neighbor, Dr. George Cabrera, who's sitting in the back. Some of you thought he was my father when we first came in because we're both handsome. But he introduced me, and when I first moved next to George, he shared with me about some things going on with his family. And when I first heard the story, I was completely amazed because I saw the way it touched George's heart. And when you hear Manny's going to be telling the story because he was kind of the outside perspective, but right in the middle of it all together, you're going to see maybe how we should react when it comes to things that happen in our lives. So I'm going to let Manny share a little bit.
So I'm actually going to stand up just because I feel more comfortable like that. And can anybody hear me without the microphone?
No.
I don't like the microphone. It just makes it, I don't know, it's weird. But so I'll try to do my best to do this little speech thing or whatever you want to call it. Like Josh said, my name is Emmanuel Racinos. I'm really glad that I got to be here with all of you guys today. It's really glad that the house of the Lord is everywhere you go. I attend the First Christian Church in McMinnville, and that's where my father's the pastor of the church. And I'm really glad that I can come to this town of Dayton and then also find God in this household, in this church. And that's really nice that we can always find a place where we can serve the Lord. Amen. So, as Josh said, that you guys are going through the virtue of justice, and that is something that I just want to talk briefly, share my perspective or what I've gone through, and hopefully this goes well. And if not, I'll be leaving soon. So Josh wanted me to share a story, something that happened to one of the many things that has happened in my life. And because he said that was something that we take, it's something that demonstrated what justice really is as a Christian. As a believer of God, I believe that justice means something completely different when we are in God. Justice is different from those who are non-believers when we follow God. And I believe that my story kind of sheds some light into what it is to be a Christian and to have justice. Apologize if I'm stuttering. It's always very difficult to speak in front of people who you don't know who they are. So I'm really sorry, but I'm shaking. Every time I get up before somebody or to give a speech, I always pray hours before that God comes that at that moment before I give the speech. You know, I just wish that God was here at this moment so this would all be over. But no, that's fine. So as Josh mentioned, something did happen to my family, and this was a few years back ago. And the situation was this, that there was a man that was living with us, and this man, we took him into our household, and we took him as someone that we loved. He was a brother from the church. He's still in the church. He moved towns, and then he's attending a different church, but I still consider him as a brother. So we opened our household to him because he could not find rent and all this thing. You know, he was having problems. So we opened our house to him, our hearts to him, as we do as Christians. We open our hearts to people to come in and to recuperate whatever it is that they are going through. So we opened our hearts up to this person, and in return, we did not receive kind of what we were expecting. Something happened, and what occurred was that this man committed a crime against our family, and in turn, my father was blamed for the crime. My father was then arrested, and at that time, my father had his green card, and it was expired, so we were in the process of getting it fixed, okay? So my father is arrested, and he is not convicted of the crime because he did not do it, but he was convicted of having an expired visa and being here illegally. So at the turn of the events, what happened, of course, was that he was on his way to being deported, but before you get deported, you actually face some jail time because you broke the law being here illegally. So that's what happened to me and my family. It was that this man who we let come into our household, this man who I opened my heart to and I considered a brother, I considered someone very close to me, had done something like this. And the just thing to do was to report this man to the police. The just thing to do was to tell the police that this is the person that you're looking for. This is the person who committed the crime, not my father. And the other just thing to do, as I saw justice, was to report him as well to immigration and say, well, you took my father. Here's another illegal immigrant. That was the just thing to do that I saw. But as a Christian, justice is something completely different. Because if I were to take in those actions, if I were to report this man to the police, if I were to let them know that this, to fix things, where would God's mercy be? Where would I be? Where would what God calls us to be in me if I were to do this? Sometimes people look at me and they say that it was completely wrong for you just to let this man go. If he did something so horrible to your family, the just thing to do was for him to be prosecuted. Those were the just things to do. But as a Christian, justice means something completely different to me. It means that I am forgiving just as God was forgiving to me. The word of God says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. The just thing for God to do is not to save us all from what we deserve, which I believe is death as a sinner. It's not the just thing for God to do. It's a gift that he has given unto us that we are saved by him. And so I thought about this, his word, and as he told me, as God spoke to me and said that I have the right to be just because I am pure, I am holy. I have the right to do what it is that I plan to do or what I feel like doing. But if I take justice into my own hands, if I take what I think is just, I am not being what God has called me to be. I am not being the person that God has called me to be. I just repeated myself. So another verse of God, the word of God is in Luke 12, verse 48, the second part. It says, to whom much is given, much is required. I don't know about you, but I've been given wisdom to take things into to have things in a different perspective. His word of God that's written in the Bible tells me to be forgiven, to be merciful. I don't know if you guys believe that, but that's what God tells me to do, to be merciful and be forgiving. Once again, I'm really sorry. I get all nervous and stuff. So God has called me to be a different person. And when it comes to justice, sometimes we take matters into our own hands. And what justice can sometimes do when we are kind of fogged up with justice is that we can start condemning as people. We can start condemning. So what I could have done in this moment was condemn this man and done something that God wouldn't have done. God would have been merciful and God would have forgiven this person. And that's what I did because God tells us that we are his image. I am not somebody special to go out and say, you're doing something wrong, you have done something wrong, and take matters into my own hands, even though it seems as if the just thing to do. I've never been pulled over. That doesn't mean that I'm a good driver or anything. I've just never been pulled over. But I know many people who have been pulled over. I've been with somebody who has been pulled over. And I know at that time, whether it is that they were speeding or they passed a red light or anything, that the just thing for the police to do is to give them a ticket. It's cut and dry. There's no thing about it is just you did something wrong, and the just thing is that you receive a ticket, okay? But at that moment, when that person is driving or when somebody's getting pulled over, they wish inside and they crave that somebody would just have mercy, that the police would have mercy and would say, you know what, I understand that I don't know what you were thinking, but you were going really fast, you passed the red light, I don't know, but I'll have mercy and then I'll let you go. This would be a warning. And we all crave for that when you get pulled over, for those of you that drive. Yeah, so we do, in that instance, we do deserve the ticket. We do deserve that we get a fee, with whatever it is that we did. But we always wish that somebody would have mercy on us and that they would say, okay, we forgive you. And I think that that's something that we should always do in everything that we do. As we want people to treat us a certain way, that's how we have to treat people as well. Sometimes people do things unto us as Christians. They take advantage, or even as just fellow people, if you're not a Christian at this moment in your life, people do take advantage of you or things happen to you, but God has called us to do something, and that is to be merciful and be forgiving. Does this all make sense? I hope it does. No? I'll try to be more clear. So, God has called us to have a different life and a different perspective when it comes to justice. It does not mean to take matters into our own hands. It does not mean to condemn, and does not mean to take things and to not forgive, because God has called us to forgive. Once again, I return to that passage, for the wages of sin is death. You know, God's giving us a gift, and he's taking us into his kingdom as a gift, and it's not the just thing for him to do. Okay, he is holy, we are not. You don't mix those things together. So God, though, creates a bridge for us to be with him, and it's not the just thing to do. The just thing to do, as I believe it, as a sinner, is for me just to die and not be with him. But he does not take justice in that manner. He says, I am merciful, I am forgiving you for what you have done, and I'm going to accept you into my kingdom. You know, I hope this all makes sense. That's kind of all that I had to share. I know I didn't share much of the story because it's personal, and sometimes it's hard to speak about it. But the point is that we just have to see justice in a different way if we are believers in Christ. If we are believing that Christ is merciful, if we are believing that we should be the image of God, then we should take justice into a different perspective. I hope... this all makes sense.
You're not off the hook that much yet. You're going to have a seat, because I have some questions, because then it'll give him a little bit more clarity. How long did your dad have to serve?
I'm going to have George kind of help me out with this, because I'm not quite sure. Was it 2 years?
No.
About 2 years. A little over 2 years.
No.
No, he has service.
And from what George shared with me, I don't know if...
Here's the man. Go ahead. Unjustly persecuted, prosecuted. He's an ICE at the cone. And what does this man do? He's not bitter. He's not resentful. He's not yelling out how unjust everything is. This man...
He creates a congregation in the prison, because he felt that's what God had called him to do. He wasn't, and when he got out of jail, we had dinner together, and no bitterness about what he had gone through, because he was guided by the Spirit to help these men who were incarcerated in this prison. Even though everything was coming down on this guy, and he was getting beat up, he was there to shepherd these men in prison. And through the grace of God, he was released. And he came back to McMinnville. He's still a pastor at the church. And he has no bitterness of that whole situation. It was just, it is just a stunning to to be in the presence of all of this family. Things that you don't know. I gotta say things about Manny. This is an unusual young man. What he has gone through in the last 4 or 5 years is just absolutely amazing. He has been arrested. He's been handcuffed. He has been put in detention. He has gone through Chemeketa Community College as an honor student, as an ambassador. He's a senior at Linfield College on a full ride. In 2 weeks, he's going to study in England. And all of this has been by the grace of God. He's been guided constantly. And you get to know this young man. It's just a remarkable story that he has to share. I just can't say enough, Josh. I mean, I get very emotional about this because this is an unusual family that's right here in between. Well, they live in Lafayette, but Manny is a very, very special man of God, and wherever he goes, he touches lives. As does his whole family.
I think one thing too, and for young people, you don't understand sometimes how well we have it. But during this whole time, they have a business, a landscaping business. And how I first met them is, it was Manny and his brother Eli and his sister and his mom were out there, and they're landscaping and having to keep this business up because dad is gone. And in the midst of it, they have somebody pass away. Was it his
grandfather?
And Manny does part of the funeral, and this whole time their dad couldn't be there, so there's financial burdens, all these things are coming down. And the one thing, and it makes me choke up a little bit because it makes me feel guilty for the way I live my life, is not once did they complain about how unfair or how unjust this was. The man spent 2 years in jail for essentially something he did not do wrong. And we talk about how unfair it is, what sometimes when we get the wrong hamburger or the things that happen to us. But not once did I ever see this family put blame on this other man, or did they hate on this other person, or did they say, well, why not this? They said, you know what? This man is our brother. We've forgiven him. And the dad, the whole time, being in jail, when he came out, he says, it was great. I had a congregation in there. We think about justice. And we think about what we deserve. And that family lived exactly what justice is. It's not our job to worry about. Manny, thank you for sharing. And just give him a hand. He did a great job. I don't know if I'll invite you back to speak again. You might take, my position here. So, as an example of that, as an example of what is fair and what's not, Jessica had to go somewhere, and so I was stuck with all four kids. So, single dad trying to handle four children, all ages, and so they stayed overnight at my place, and it was time for bed. And so, essentially, Olivia is the first one to go to bed. She's like, it's not fair. They always get to stay up later than me. I'm like, well, when you get older, you get to stay up later. 30 minutes later, it's Joshua's turn to go to bed. He's the next age up. That's not fair. They always get to stay up and do all the cool stuff. And they always get to stay up and watch TV. And it's not fair. Well, when you get older, it'll be your turn, and you'll get to stay up. An hour later, it's the older kid's bedtime. That's not fair. You're going to, order pizza or something and hang out and play video games and stay up late. This is not fair. Why can't we stay up? It's the weekend. When you get older like me, you can stay up as late as you want. 2 hours later, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, man, this is not fair. I wish I could go to bed like Olivia and have no worries and just sleep. How's this fair? You know, everyone always seems to think that life should be fair or rewarded according to the way we live. Because if we live this great life, shouldn't there be great rewards for us? And it's funny because even as Christ followers, we know that that's not the way it's going to happen. But we fall into this trap because we think that serving him means that he will give us a little something something for serving him. And I think that what Manny's story can give us insight into is the idea of justice and not just how we live our life, but that sometimes injustice is just that. It's a part of life. Okay, it happens. Is it fair? Nobody said it's fair. But does it happen? Yes. Our reaction to all of this is the difference between peace and misery. I've only once seen Manny like slightly upset, and that's not getting mad to me. You know, that's like me after the team just scored a touchdown against my favorite team. His getting mad is not really upset because the way they view life is the difference for them between peace and misery, between letting go and holding on, between freedom and bitterness. And I know that doesn't make sense, but by the end of this, I promise you it will. You know, when I first met them in the midst of all this stuff going on in their lives and George was telling me their story, my reaction was probably less about love and more like, really, God, are you serious? I knew that their story was perfect, though, for this situation, for this virtue, because oftentimes it's always about what's fair and what's not, what's just and what kind of justice should be served to other people. Because even us as Christians or Christ followers, we get caught up in this, what people deserve, what we deserve. It's only unjust if we think that way, because justice, again, is never ours to deal with or deal out in the first place. In this world, we see good people get cancer, while those that seem to be living hard or partying or doing all these different things that we think is wrong, that it's not fair because they're healthy. God, really, you should, you know, let them have a heart attack. Sometimes we think these things in our head, and can you imagine if everybody could hear what you're thinking? It wouldn't be good. That's why God says our thoughts are to be kept to ourselves. I knew that their story was perfect, though, for the virtue, because it's a victory. Sometimes we get tired of seeing these people live this less than glorious life, seem to have money or seem to be getting all these things in life, and everything seems to be going right for them. You know, we see pictures on Facebook, they're going on these vacations. Really, God, that should be me. Why do I have to struggle? They're the ones living less of a life that glorifies you. And then on top of that, it seems that Christians sometimes have a more difficult life, because if you walk into a church and you look at the prayer list, it's filled with people that maybe have cancer or other illnesses, people that are in need of a job, or people who are struggling in marriage or relationships. And not only that, we struggle with this just fight to live a godly life when the world is constantly bombarding us with temptation. And while those who do not follow the Lord seem to not to struggle at all, in fact, they don't even have to worry about it. Even though they're living a life that appears to go against what God says. In the words of Ian, sometimes it makes me want to say what? Okay. Like, what in the world is going on here? So this is what I want you to do for me today. I want you to think about how you spend your time in your life when it comes to the struggles and the situations, how do you spend your time thinking about it? Do you look at everything as an injustice or unfair? Do you look at everything that goes wrong as a personal attack? All the while, you're envying those who seem to be getting just everything's handed to them. Let's admit that we may not by ourselves actually be able to perfectly evaluate the circumstances adequately. Because sometimes we think we do. We think we're correct. I want you to check out this verse in 1 Peter 4:15. And we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. And it's going to be our focal point for today's message. And so this first verse, the first point of it is, when you choose to meddle, you will suffer. Okay? And the verse reads this. It says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler." And I know what you're thinking. You're like, I am not one of those people. I've never murdered anybody. I've never stolen anything. I don't think of myself as an evildoer. And what is meddling? A meddler is someone that interferes or busies himself with things in which he has no concern. Okay? So if you thought about what's right or what other people should be doing or any of that, guess what? That's you. Okay? You're a meddler. So if you're concerning yourself with somebody else's life and they didn't ask you, you've just meddled in their life. And some of you are like, oh, I don't do that. I just focus on myself. Should we put your thoughts on audio? Okay? I think that sometimes we justify what we think we deserve by comparing our lives to how others live and what they receive. My question to you is, who put you in charge, and when were you given the ability to be judge, jury, and executioner? Okay? And it's funny because then we put our life on trial like we're a lawyer or something, and God is the judge, and we defend what's happening in our lives because we, for some reason, we think we're doing something wrong. And we're like, God, today I present to you my case of my struggles that are happening in my life. I mean, the punishment that you have given me, you have put upon me, they're not equal, God, to the life I have lived. I mean, look at my neighbor. He is a real piece of work, and he doesn't even like you. Maybe he should get whatever's happening to me. In fact, I think he should get whatever's happening to me because I've lived a better life. You want to see a family that walks step in step with Jesus. The Racino family are that family. I've been around George a long time, and for that man to say they are a true example of what it means to be a Christ follower and to watch them walk that way and to see what happened to them, that doesn't make any sense either. But I did not hear them complaining about it or try to say, you know, maybe they should be thrown in jail. You start to justify your feelings about the situation by trying to prove why someone else should suffer or have consequences for the way they live. Or maybe we justify to God why things should be different by blaming someone for what they did to us. And so we impose our own consequences on them so that they can feel what we feel. Let's find a way, because if the law is not going to do it and God is not going to take care of it, well, I'm going to sure make sure that they know what they did to me. I'm going to give them the silent treatment. Okay? I'm going to say something back to them that's rude. The Racino family didn't blame the man who started the whole turn of events. Instead, they wrapped their arms around this man and said, "We love you and so does God." Let me tell you, that is a hard thing to do. And it's funny, if you relook at that verse, God never said you were a murderer or a thief or an evildoer. So why do you put your life on trial and choose to inflict this kind of suffering on your life? Because when you start to focus on the injustice that is happening in your life, you are bringing your own suffering on you. You are starting to accuse yourself of doing something wrong, that you lived a certain way, or maybe a mistake you made in the past, and now it's catching up with you. When I was 4 years old, I stole a cookie. I'm so sorry, God. I'm 30 years old. Why are you coming back to me now? Really? What kind of loving God is that? In fact, where in the Bible does it say that? But somehow in our minds, we justify that. We think that that's the way God is, and so we punish ourselves. When it comes to the Rusino family, I've learned a few things about how we should handle our adversity. Not once did they say what should have happened to the people who were involved or what they deserved. No, they praised God through it all. Something we should know in our mind and heart is that God is good, and he is good to those who are pure in heart. If you are a Christian, you have probably been taught that and believe that. I have been, and I do believe that. Maybe you are not a Christian here today, and you don't necessarily believe that. And here is what I want to tell you, if you're not a follower here today, is that everyone has struggled at one point or another with this apparent unfairness or injustice in the world. The mistake is made when we decide to focus or covet another person's life because of the unfairness that's going on in our life. Well, look at what they got. Man, this is not fair. Look at what they have. Look at the things that are going on in their lives. Luke 12:15 says this, and he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So the question we must ask is this: what causes us to stumble in our journey of life? The problem is this: it's what we believe in our heart and mind, that there is a good God. And what we see with our eyes, which is unfairness and injustice, they don't seem to match up, right? Again, because it wasn't our job in the first place to figure that out. Now, the problem is either with what we believe or what we are seeing. If you want to call God wrong, I'd scoot away from you real quick. It's not going to be me. But stop focusing on what everyone else is getting in life and what you think you deserve, because that is where your misery is. You're like, but Josh, you don't understand. I'm being punished because of what somebody did. And look at all these other people. They have no consequences for what they did. That's not fair. Look at how they treated me. Something has to be done. It is. It's just not in your time, and it's not by you. And my first reaction is, really? Because if you're following Christ, I'm pretty sure that just as much happened to Jesus. And he didn't really try to go and punish everyone else. No, instead he laid down his life. When Jesus was illegally, unjustly, and inhumanely mistreated, he still kept his composure in the way he displayed his attitude. Remember what Peter says. He said he didn't retaliate. He made no threats. We stay focused on coveting the prosperity, the things of this world. We want what they have because we deserve it. We earned it. We live this good Christian life. God owes me. Are you serious? Because I didn't see you hang on the cross, and I didn't see you suffer for the whole world. Once we stop battling this sin or any sin, we give Satan an opportunity to get a foothold into our lives. And we start believing his lies. And when we are viewing life through the eyes of sin, we start viewing life from the perspective of Satan. Now think about that for a minute. Well, I'm not looking at the world like Satan. Well, sin isn't really God. And I know that's hard. It's uncomfortable to even hear that, right? Because if I say you're viewing life from the perspective of Satan, you're like, no. So how do we deal with injustice in our attitudes so that we don't fall into this false trap? Let's read the next verse in 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. One of my commentaries says this: there is very little comfort in sufferings when we bring them upon ourselves by our own sin and folly. It is not the suffering, but the cause that makes the martyr. And we have this reason to thank God for the honor. If he calls us to suffer for his truth and his gospel, I sat in my office Tuesday with Manny and his dad, and we talked about the things that were happening. I need water too, Manny. I'm nervous. Sorry. You can walk out. They might throw me out. And his dad was sitting here, and when I first heard their story, I'm thinking, my family, I would retaliate. When I first heard the story 2 years ago, that was my first reaction, because I was like, this is my family. I love my family. But when he shared his story and his dad sat in my office, he said, I didn't want my family to carry this burden on their shoulders. I didn't want that man to carry that burden on his shoulders. God put me in jail. There's a reason. Because God wanted me to carry this burden. He wanted me to show people how to live. He said the only way to do that and the only way to show people and to shine through this injustice was to completely forgive him. And that meant letting him know I forgave him. And not just personally, not just, oh yes, I've forgiven him in my heart. Okay? That's garbage, because we do that. And then we know when we get around that person, we're like, I love you, I forgive you. Don't stand next to me, I'm going to slap you. Okay? He said, not just personally, but publicly and in front of my church, I forgave that man. He said, it's bad enough that the world condemns people. But what is any different when Christian people condemn people? When they come into what's supposed to be God's house and they're as condemned here as they are outside, that doesn't make us any different. You really think then justice is served? No, because that's an injustice. He says, I don't want that to be on me when I face God. So I let people think what they want and did my time so that when the truth was revealed, people could learn by how I handled the trial. Not the unfairness, not the garbage situation, but the trial. I don't know about you, but being lodged in a cell for something that you did not do does not really sound like a good time to me. But this man was excited. He was like, you should see how many people were coming to my service. And I'm like, really? You just did a bunch of time for something you didn't do. Yeah, but it was exciting. You should see all the people I reached. Something's wrong with this man. And I scratched my head and I realized this is what living for Christ means. It means that when things happen that we don't think are fair or unjust, our job is not to inflict justice or to think what is fair or what's unfair. Our job is to shine and live for Christ the way he has asked us to, and that means to love. Check out what this verse says, and I know you're familiar with it. In Romans 5:2-5, it says, through him we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I understood what it meant to be excited to go to jail. I knew what it meant that not everything is fair in life, okay? But that's not for us to think about. When we do that, we avoid seeing the gifts that God has given us, the life that God has given us. This man lived exactly how we were supposed to, honoring God and knowing that justice is God's job to deliver and not our own. If you are here today, and again, maybe you're not a proclaimed Christian, don't let the people around you who are Christians make you think that it is all fluffy bunnies and cotton candy. Okay? Here's the thing is, sometimes when as Christians, we're so afraid to share our struggles or the things that are happening in our life or where we're failing at, because then people will think we're less than Christian. You're not reading your Bible enough. You're not praying enough then. You must not really have faith in God. No, things happen in life. Okay? And if that is us judging somebody else by the way they're not doing enough, we've made a mistake then ourselves. I'm here to tell you that life is not. My struggles are far from feeling like my bunnies are being fluffed, okay? None of that is happening. When I struggle, it is not fun at all. But what I'm learning is that when I let God worry about it, when I let God worry about what is fair and what is not, and I just live my life and do the things he's asking for me, I don't have to worry about those things. I don't have to worry about who's going to get consequences or what. What I have is peace, because I'm not spending every moment wishing that something would happen to the other person or wishing that, you know, that all these other people would get consequences because of how they're living their lives. No, I have peace because I'm living and I'm letting God take on everything else. I know this is a tough thing to do when you're going through adversity, but try this. Try to just take a moment to make sure that you're suffering and not imagining you're suffering. Okay? When your team loses a football game or when somebody gets your order wrong, that's not injustice or unfair. Okay? It happens. Does anybody have a dollar bill? I need a dollar bill. I'm not going to steal it. I will give it back. Everybody's pulling out their wallets. I'll take everybody's dollar bills. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Oh, I know. You're married. Paula tells me this is your allowance for your week. When I hold up this dollar bill and I'm holding it in front of my face, this thing looks huge. Maybe not to you. My head is much bigger. But it looks really big. But when I put this dollar into perspective and I hold it back, I see it for what it really is. It is something, but it's not nearly what I thought it was when it was right in front of my face. Okay? It wasn't really that big in the first place. But when it's right here, we're like, oh, that is such a huge issue. Why is this happening? This is terrible. Oh, it really wasn't that big in the first place. It was only a dollar. Now, the things I see in the world may still have the appearance of being unfair or unjust, seen from the perspective of God helps me see the eternal perspective. That it's a small blip on the map of life. There are small things that happen. And yes, in your life, it is unfair. It's okay to struggle and feel pain and sorrow, and I understand that. But it's nothing that you've done wrong. It's nothing that you've done in the past. And if the enemy convinces you that, you know, you were a terrible person in the past, so it's caught up with you, you must not be godly enough. Wrong. Injustice and unfairness happens to everyone. Everyone. And God is not punishing you. So why do you continue to punish yourself by worrying about it and focusing on all the things that are going wrong and what other people are doing wrong and what they get out of it? Put things into perspective. Think about, are you just imagining it? Or are you causing the problem to yourself by suffering for it? In this, we can begin to have a better understanding of some things. Because when we can take the focus of how unjust life is and start focusing on Him, we will not allow the enemy to convince us that we are not blessed. And we can glorify God instead. Let's finish reading the last verse in 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. This is where we get caught up sometimes, when we feel we are suffering an injustice in our lives. And I'm going to put this into football terms because it is football season, and it's just easier to understand for some people, like me. Our job is to entrust our lives, our hearts, and our souls to God when it comes down to it. And I'm thinking of God as your coach, and you are the quarterback of your life. And when the world or the other team throws you for a loop, our job is to look to Him and let Him tell us what to do, to call for an audible, to change the play. But if we are too busy watching the other team and like, that's not fair, they can't have all those big guys on the line. That's, ref, are you seeing this? God, really? I can't, what am I supposed to do? Look at how big they are. They just told me they're going to eat my children. Okay, what am I supposed to do? This is not fair, God. I'm just going to stand here because this isn't fair. God, you should call a penalty on them. Because they're messing with my life. You won't actually see the play He's trying to call and give you from the side because you're so busy looking here instead of looking here. For example, I remember a family at my last church. They went through some struggles with their son, and in the midst of all this chaos, the father had something happen where his face and a whole side of him kind of went paralyzed. I'm like, wow. After they weren't already struggling with enough. Not only in the midst of that, but their strong Christian daughter decided that she was going to get engaged to a Mormon. And to them, that was like, whew. All of a sudden, they're just feeling it. And they finally came to my office after trying to deal with it in-house and really did some damage in their relationships at home. And for a while, people watched them and everything that they were going through, and they really admired what they were doing. They're like, man, they are really handling it. They're going to God in prayer. They're not blaming everybody else. They're really staying focused, and they're willing to serve through all the garbage in their life. Then towards the end of this chapter in their lives, it became evidence that bitterness was starting to set in. When the mom came in and I started to speak with her, she said, I don't understand why this is happening. We love Christ and we don't live bad lives. Why is this happening? And then in the same breath, she looked over at her son and she said, this is your fault. You're the one getting into trouble. You brought this on your father. This should be happening to you, not him. Wow. I kind of wanted to sneak away at that point because I don't know what was going to happen next, but my jaw dropped and I didn't know what to say. We have this opportunity to shine like Jesus when He was unfairly and unjustly persecuted. But it's moments like those that are less than stellar, and we cannot take back those. We can't take back those words. We can't take back the actions. We can't take back the things that we say. We have a chance to shine, and instead we just, there's no words for it, because that's what it looks like when we mess up. Can you imagine the broken heart of the son? How do other people feel that surrounded you? How do other people feel when maybe that's been you? Because you feel like things weren't going right. Or maybe somebody hurt your feelings. Or somebody said something that they shouldn't have. What was your first reaction? I can say with certainty that it is God's will for us to give thanks in the situation we are in right now. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." If you want to highlight that verse, concerning you, because everything else doesn't concern you. What other people are doing in their lives or choosing to live doesn't concern you. So the more you focus on it, you're wrong. It's not your job to worry about what they should get or what they deserve or what you deserve. Your job is to give thanks to God always. You want the feeling of fluffy bunnies? Let me tell you, no peace during these times of struggle. You don't have to be thankful for the circumstance, but be thankful in it, because God is working on your behalf. And you need to thank Him for what God is seeking to do in you. If you're complaining about everything around you, you're violating God's will. It's time to call this audible, this change your play in your life. Start saying what you're thankful for. I guarantee you, some of the things in your life will back up. When you cannot be shaken, life will back up. Doing good through the struggles in life isn't always about how you serve, but how you live. And what the world needs to see different is how we react in these times of struggle. You know what the number one downfall in the church is? People. And I know you don't want to hear that, but it's people. Okay, God doesn't ruin people. The world doesn't ruin the church. Okay, because they're not in it, so how can they ruin it? But it's us. Because when we react the wrong way, churches are split, people leave the church, feelings are hurt, and relationships are broken. The same thing goes within our families. How big a deal is it, really, for families to be split because they owe me an apology, or you should see what they did to me. Really? Because are you reading the same Bible as me? Because look at what they did to God, and He still took every single burden and hung on that cross. Now, if you got hung on a cross and you can show me the holes and then you came back down and saved everybody, we can have a discussion. I have office hours. We'll talk about it. But what right is it of yours to be the judge, jury, and executioner? We get ourselves into all kinds of problems when we think the answer to my problem is just to do this for a little while. I'm going to try to fix this because it's my job. I can get myself together. And then I'm going to go back and I'll get with you, God, and we'll discuss, you know, what play we can run next for my life. The problem is that whatever it is that we see as our answer does not really provide what we needed. When we leave the Lord, it makes it difficult for us to see what God intended to do on our behalf. When we try to call our own audible to make our own change in our life, I want us to realize that even though we may make some call changes, it is still ultimately God that is our salvation. We are not smart enough to make all the right calls. We are not strong enough to change the hearts of people. And that is why we have to determine to trust God no matter what. Our job is not to determine whether what is happening to us is fair or unjust. Our job is to live in the light and be an example to those around us. If we truly trust our God, then do just that and trust Him. Don't spend time falling into the trap of becoming this judge, of judging your own life, of trying to compare and to see what's right and what's wrong. Because at that point, you have lost sight of God and have fallen into exactly what the enemy wants you to believe. And that is that life isn't fair, and that you deserve better, and that God really doesn't like you. Doubting what is happening in your life is doubting whether God has a plan for your life. And how can you really see what God wants in your life when you are so busy focusing on what isn't and what's going on in others? Okay, justice is not our burden to figure out. So give it to him. Let him make the play calls. Life isn't fair. But if you sit and complain and focus on it, what you're doing to God is not fair either. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for being a just and loving God. And we might not always understand what is happening or why things are happening in our life. But God, the one thing I know that you are taking care of all of it. You put us here for a purpose. You have a plan for our life. And sometimes things just happen. It's not because of something we did way back when or a consequence to how a mistake we made. God, when you forgave us, you forgave us. Sometimes bad things happen. God, help us to see that we don't have to punish ourselves, but that when we have our eyes focused on you, you'll show us what to do. And you will take care of the rest. Father, I thank you for allowing us to be in your presence, to serve you, to love you. It's not always an easy thing to do, to move forward and to understand what justice is. But God, you've given us all kinds of direction. You've given us your word to guide us. Lord, help us to focus on that. Help us to focus on you and let everything else fall into place after that. Help us to see that we are a blessed people because you have a plan that lasts an eternity for us. So, Father, we thank you and we ask these things in your name. Amen. I don't know if the worship team is coming up or not. I don't know.